Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Faceted Gems. I'm your host, Diane Ward. Give thanks for our blessings. Enjoy life and loved ones now. Mentor when you can. Silence allows us to hear the inner voice and concentrate on the good. You're going to listen to our theme song, which is played by Brian Snow. We are also fortunate to have with us tonight writer and director, friend of mine, Daehoon Kim. He is the director of the Korean American Film Festival. He has been instrumental in presenting pre-production pieces, Cindy Zhao Bay. LAR, which is an ongoing production highlighting the LA riots. He is has made several films, which include Hell in Flushing 2013, Brothers 2012, It Strikes Twice in 2008, which was seen at the Busan Film Festival, and he has won numerous awards, which include New Perspectives Award. We're very, very happy and proud to have him on. Thank you so much for joining us, Daehoon Kim. Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hi, I hear you now. Yes.
Yeah.
Could you hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
Did you like the intro?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
I didn't talk about everything that you did because I know you're going to elaborate. But you know, what I wanted to know, really, because this is called Faceted Gems, and we get to talk about how people get to their careers. What caused you to go into film and writing? Was that something you just always wanted to do?
Well, it's interesting to hear that question now because I haven't really thought about that for a while. But I think
I caught you off guard. Great, spontaneous.
Yeah, no, I just. I was studying, you know, in college I studied, just economics, and I don't know what it was. I think it was when I started to, I took inter-ethnic relations, and I remember just hearing about, you know, I'd never really thought about this, you know, but, you know, just looking at how different people are depicted by, you know, film and TV and different kinds of media. I did a paper on that, and it just became, you know, very obvious to me that, you know, things weren't very equal, and that somebody else had a say in determining who I was, you know, before I even had, or, you know, not even before, you know, aside from me even having a chance to say anything about that.
Right.
I don't know. I think I'm a pretty prideful person, ultimately, and I didn't really think about it consciously, but I think from that class in senior year of college, I think it was just planted in me that I probably wanted to take control of my own, you know, my own voice and my own perspective. And I had taken a lot of photography, since high school, just because I found it really I just found it really interesting that you could just kind of capture something, you know, in a moment, and the whole technical side to it really appealed to me. And I think that's why somehow, you know, I just kind of found myself slowly migrating into doing film, because it is kind of, you know, the most effective medium for communicating, you know, a kind of fully realized reality that most people are accustomed to, you know, being able to digest. So I think that's kind of why, if anything.
Right. And pictures, you know, I find pictures just like music is so universal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of, you know, the pictures and music, they're a whole separate language, but it cuts across all language. It's a way of
mm-hmm.
communicating without having voice, without, you know, just a visual, how you can emote so much, where you can mean so much. Almost everybody understands music. And what the feeling is. The same thing with a picture. And, you know, what you say is so true about how someone else is speaking your voice and how dare they try to speak for me. When you have
mm-hmm.
a media, you have a way of expressing what you really want. And I think
mm-hmm.
that's part of the joy of being able to tell your own story from your own perspective, because other people want to impose what they believe on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And journalism does the same way. I mean, in your own way, really, you know, when I was intrigued by one of the examples that you used, one of the topics, the L.A. riots. I mean, like, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
why did you pick that for a topic, for example?
Well, that wasn't a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's similar to the festival. Like, I was kind of asked to do it as, like, not quite a favor, but just like, hey, you know, since you're involved with this film festival, like, can you, you know, help produce, like, some little film, you know, that can precede this kind of, you know, grand vision of a concert that people were thinking about doing around the 20th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you
mm-hmm.
know, the concert with, you know, I mean, they're throwing out names like, you know, Snoop Dogg and Santana and, like, you
right.
know, probably some Korean acts, you know, so just to
that's
show,
good.
Like, the solidarity of Los Angeles and everything. And it would be great to have some kind of video that precedes it that can kind of, like, you know, give a little background and education around, you know, the matter. So that's how I kind of got sucked into it. And I had, you know, talked to a couple of friends, and they joined me on the project.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we started working on it, and, you know, it just, I didn't, you know, even though I had studied in college, and honestly, that was actually very eye-opening for me because I'm from New York, but I went to L.A. for college, and,
right.
you know, just kind of knowing that that went on back then was, you know, kind of crazy.
Right.
So, yeah, we started working on it, and, you know, eventually, like, there were issues with different voting redistricting, like,
mm-hmm.
stuff going on in L.A., so, you know, the organizers just kind of weren't really in the mood to do the concert because the voting redistricting was all around racial lines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was kind of stuck. We already started it, so we're like, oh, I mean, we might as well just keep going.
Right.
So we, and you know, we wanted to take an angle, and the angle was really, you know, we don't really care about what experts think. You know, like, they always just come in the aftermath and just, like, talk about whatever. You know, you need to really kind of talk to what the people who experienced it or witnessed it thought. But at the same time, we didn't want to, I mean, it's 20 years later, like, what's the new angle? So we thought, maybe, what about those people such as ourselves that were too young to really do anything to be of an influence at that time in 1992? We're like, oh, let's focus on people in their, you know, 20s and 30s who have, and it just turned out this way that, you know, kind of, you know, have focused their careers, whether it's in art or in activism,
mm-hmm.
Really inspired out of those events to do something for the community. So that's how it kind of came about. And, I mean, the idea was to kind of get it done by the 20th anniversary, but I think that was just completely unrealistic because, you know,
mm-hmm.
documentary, you know, just no matter what budget you have, it just takes years. So
right.
I think we're taking a little bit of a, you know, and then actually my partners dropped out, so it was just me with, like, hundreds of hours of footage. with no budget. So I tried to, you know, the project just kind of stalled. I've done a little bit of shooting since, but I think just kind of re-game planning for more of a longer-term picture,
mm-hmm.
probably going towards the 25th anniversary. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, and there's other projects that were my own personal projects rather than kind of pro bono, like, you know,
right.
kind of
right.
for the community type stuff. So
And you know, chronicling, you know, all of this is historic. I mean, this is a lot of responsibility. Your spirit isn't dampened by it. I mean, you know, you've gone through, you had people, you know, the topic wasn't chosen to you, but you did it, but people dropped off by the wayside, and, you know, but
mm-hmm.
you're still doing it, and that kind of tenacity. And mm-hmm. I think that's part of what we get to in Faceted Gems, that people, you know, sometimes you happen to be in the right place at the right time. Sometimes you meet the right mentor. Sometimes you become the mentor to people.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to go back to school. Sometimes you have to relearn something. Sometimes you have to rely on other people because they have more expertise than you do in a particular area. But the tenacity, I mean, you're keeping at it. You're still doing it. And then, of course, I guess you learn along the way for the projects that you would want to hold dear. So what are the kinds of projects that you want to work on that you know, that are self-motivating for you?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, like, in the beginning, I guess maybe there was almost a political angle, although it wasn't, like, fully conscious or, you know, it wasn't, you know, because for the reasons I stated earlier. But, you know, the more and more you kind of do it and then you're trying to figure out, like, what, you know, what story are you going to tell, what kind of characters are they going to be, like, you know, then you kind of develop and you can be like, well, what style am I going to do it?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not so much for, like, doing it for the community or these kinds of people or those kinds of people. I think, you know, you end up just realizing that, you know, you're just going to do whatever makes you feel, you know, right, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very individual level, and I think when you break it down to that, you know, kernel of sincerity or whatever, just, you know, that kind of focus, I think that's actually when it kind of becomes more universal for people.
Right.
So rather than focus on trying to do something and send some kind of message or, you know, that kind of thing, I think you just try to do what feels right and feels good, and you just really try to stay open-minded and sensitive.
Right.
And, you know, as real and, you know, tenacious, like, you just have to, you know, you just have to realize it's the long, long road. Like, it's not like someone's going to ask you something and you're going to know how to answer it, like, that minute. You know, it may
right.
take a long time. Or it may just happen, like, you know, you may come up with the answer, like, you know, after a few weeks and all of a sudden it happens. But anyway, like, basically what I'm working on now is it's a reggae zombie musical.
Right.
And
that,
called
I found
Simbi
that
Zombies.
Also. What's it called?
Yeah. It's called Simbi Zombies, but
Zombies
with a X.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know, I just find it, I wrote the, like a quick catchphrase or a log line for this film is basically, when his cousin Jobin infiltrates Sheep Psyche playing the upright bass, a Brooklyn hipster Rico and his band are destined to become K-pop zombies performing the reggae soundtrack to the Armageddon. So,
and you have that soundtrack, right? You can play it for us?
Yeah, I have one song kind of ready for you.
Okay, play it. Yeah.
It's called Murderous
Crime. We're ready
crime.
On Blake.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
it comes
Rainbow
out.
Rainbow Soul. Yes, we're ready. Come on, bring it on.
Okay. Here it goes. Yeah.
Okay.
You're going to do that.
Yeah, I have to stop it there because there's actually some curse words going on. Right.
Thank you. I
no,
appreciate
no, no,
that.
Like that. Yeah.
So,
I was like
so
thinking
tell
about
me,
it.
How do people get? How do people get to? Like, you have a site, you have a production company, and a web. How do? Where do people go to get? You know, to find out the rest of this? Because you know, now we have them. You know, we have them intrigued now. We got to, like, rope them in. How do they find out more about your work? Where do they go? Tell them on the air.
Well, right now, I mean, I have a website, but it's kind of dedicated to my short film right now. So maybe my Facebook page for the production company. We actually have, three different projects right now. And another one is actually, like, a food web series. But, the Facebook page is just facebook.com/Hofstadt SP. That's Harry Oscar Stephen Thomas SP as in sound and pictures. So the company is Hofstadt Sound and Pictures.
Great.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, you have several projects going on at the same time.
Kind of three main ones now. I mean, the documentary, which is, you know, just chugging along, I guess, like, it'll be a long road. This feature, which I'm really, you know, is basically, you know, pretty much my raison d'etre in filmmaking.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much that it's, you know, the genres of reggae, zombie, and musical, but it's more of a story of alienated or estranged family members and two cousins who kind of, you know, naively think that they could bring it back together, but ultimately they're going to destroy each other. But it's maybe not such a bad thing because everyone, you know, is going to become zombies and be listening to reggae music.
Right. Well, you know what? and you heard it first here, folks. And you know, the thing is, but that we've had a lot of creative people on the show, and you know, and the whole idea is that you can do more than one thing well. We're all faceted gems. We all have these gifts, these talents, whatever. And sometimes we nurture them, and sometimes we don't, and whatever. And things happen. And sometimes we've had some guests that have had family members that have been very supportive and very nurturing, and others that have said, "What is wrong with you? Are you crazy? What has your family?" Has your family been supportive? And, you know, do you have a group of people that you can rely on and say, look, it sounds like a crazy idea, but you're using your creative energies, go for it, or say, wait a minute, you can't live off of this. What are you doing? How do you absorb that?
I think my parents have been pretty supportive. More than you could really ask for, but I think, you know, their patience is pretty much kind of wearing thin now because it's been many years. But, you know, I did get into, you know, NYU film school, and, you know, they're Asian, so that helped a lot, buy me time.
Okay.
And, you know, doing the film festival bought me some more time.
Right.
But, you know, it's not like I don't want to do my feature. I want to do it as soon as possible, but it just takes time. And I think now is kind of the right time. And you know, I had to come up with the soundtrack and write all the songs, and in order to kind of present those songs, of course, I have to kind of start a band and do the recording process and everything. I've had a band before, just, you know, on a smaller scale, but I have had a band, but yeah, it took a while to get a band together again. That was a long
process,
and it was like 9 years between performing, actually. Like, we just actually played at the Knitting Factory in March.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We played five songs, but now we actually have 11 songs, which is enough for a full set. And, you know, I'm recording all these as a demo soundtrack to the film, but I'm thinking that we might as well just release it as an album. I mean,
And you know, and that's the wonderful thing about the creative energy. So, you know, you're doing one thing, you're going on to something else. You never know what it's going to evolve to something else. Did you develop mentorships along the way, and do you mentor anyone?
Yeah, it's tricky. I wish I kind of had more of a mentor. So a lot of it, I really had to just you know, kind of trust my gut a lot of times and just, you know, eat my words a lot and just, you know, make a lot of mistakes. But at the same time, you have to, yeah, you have to forgive yourself at the same time, you know, like, you know, you did something wrong, you have to make it right, but then you have to also forgive yourself and just take, you know, all the lessons and just, you know, the more you can just kind of be, you know, you just don't want to freak out and just be very up and down, you know. So whatever lessons that you learn that can help you kind of stay steady, and it's not that you're not going to be emotional, but yeah, it's a process. And you know, I've kind of mentored some people too as well, but you know, I mean, it's not like these guys are that much younger than me, maybe like 5-6 mm-hmm. years or mm-hmm. to like 8-10 years, but I mean, it's difficult mentoring certain people because they're, you know, I find that the hardest people are just people who are very, like, there's a lot of talented people out there, but there's not many that can just stay that kind of, like, even keel,
right.
You know, and it's kind of a shame because I feel like a lot of these people, like, if they really just, you know, stayed focused and you know, looked at the long run, you know, and just really believe more in themselves, then, you know, it's like, it will happen. But, you know, it's kind of like really shooting yourself. It's not easy to, it's actually almost impossible to happen if you really try to force too much structure on something and
right.
have certain expectations, and if they don't go your way, like, you get upset, you know, it's like,
right.
So, yeah.
And, you know, I find that sometimes, and what you say is so true, because I find sometimes people have a timetable for themselves. Sometimes people have a timetable for themselves just in general in life. You know, like when I come across people who say, okay, by this age I should have this amount of money amassed, or by this age I should be married, by this age I should have children, by this age I should have this promotion, by this age I can't. Life doesn't work that way, though.
Mm-hmm.
Life, real life in the real world doesn't work that way. And then when they don't meet those kinds of expectations and goals, they miss out on other things in life because they're so
mm-hmm.
fixated on what they believe they should have already accomplished. And it does take a level of patience and a lot of humbling, really, when you can't meet whatever that expectation or goal might possibly be. But, I mean, that's a construct you put on yourself rather than enjoying the process. And
mm-hmm.
it sounds like
yeah.
You're still in the midst of enjoying the process, even though, of course, your parents want you to, you know, have, I guess, what they consider
mm-hmm.
more of a stable career. I mean, they only want the best for you, let's face it. But I'm just saying
mm-hmm.
that kind of anxiety is also in the back of their mind. And I'm sure if your child wanted to do the same thing, you would probably go say the same thing, except for the fact that at least you've done it. I mean, you know, because your parents aren't filmmakers. So it's not
mm-hmm.
the same, you know, exactly the same thing. You know what I mean? It's different when it's something that the family has been doing for, you know, for eons or whatever. But are you the only filmmaker, photographer in your family?
Well, I'm the only child, too, so.
Okay. Who inspired you in the very beginning to want to do this? Was there anyone that inspired you?
I mean, there's filmmakers. There's probably 3 filmmakers that are kind of like, you know, that I think about as my inspirations. But as far
mm-hmm.
as somebody specific, maybe it's hard to pinpoint, but I do look back to, I did go to like one of those New York Film Academy film camps, but except it was in Paris for, like, 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I went to law school, too, so, like, right before I went to law school, I went there. And
mm-hmm.
I met, you know, these 2 German girls and became really good friends with them, and they were just, they just loved documentary films. Like, all they could do is talk about documentary films. And I was like, what's cool about documentary? I don't get it, you know? But then they would just carry their camera around and, like, just film all these, like, moments, like, just, you know, like, funny, you know, and then we'd, like, go back and look at all the footage that we shot, just, like, random moments. And it was very akin to, you know, kind of the photography that I did, you know, as a hobby in high school and stuff, and, you know, just that kind of street photography, just going out
right.
and capturing the reality. I don't know, I mean, yeah, it's, like, interesting and rewarding and stuff, but it's also very funny, you know?
Right,
like,
right,
you can find so many funny moments, and, just like nuance and all these crazy little things. So that's probably a big motivating.
Yeah, you don't realize what, until the question is asked, I find a lot of times people don't realize, I never thought of that. And that's true of all of us, and that creativity, when you think back and say, wow, I guess that did have an impact on me, but I didn't think of it at the time. And it's just, it's all in there, though. We're jumpstart. There's a jumpstart somewhere in there that makes us ping from one thing to the other. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful kind of energy. And I really like the fact that you're so excited and you're stuck with it and you're still doing it and you're still excited about it. And I want people to go to your site and see and keep the site updated and let us know. I mean, I'll probably call you back so we can get an update because I do that with some of my guests so I can find out where they're going now, what they're doing next. Because it's a really exciting thing, quite frankly, for me and I'm sure for other people to go through the journey with you, to kind of live vicariously through you, because I haven't had anybody on who is a filmmaker like you, I haven't had anyone who's been able to share, and I appreciate that so much, share with me what the ups and downs, the going through everything, the photography, the film, the creative process, the stick-to-itiveness, which is a word I made up. But, that tenacity, that willingness is a really wonderful, wonderful trait. And I'm hoping that other people that are listening realize, it just doesn't happen overnight. You've got to be sincere and true to yourself. And I particularly love what you said about, you do the craft, you're true to yourself. It's not that you necessarily want to, put something out there that's dictating anything at all. But as long as you're true to yourself, you're going to find somebody else who thinks the same way or who says, or who doesn't and says, wow, I hadn't thought of it that way. And that's a good thing because you brought something to light. A dialogue that you do by pictures and film is wonderful. I do a film class with children, and it's always fascinating to me how kids will pick different things, because out of the innocence, of course, they will pick different things out of the same picture or film or movie, and you'll get all these different perspectives, and what do? We all looked at the same piece of, the same reel, and so that's why it's so universal, and some of the kids, English is their first language, some of them it isn't. I use a lot of foreign caption films in my classes, and they love it. They can't wait to see what am I going to bring them next. And I think that's it, really, because it cuts across everything. Film and pictures cuts across everything, just like I said music does. It's a wonderful media that I think we need to maybe encourage more, perhaps, in schools, especially in the younger ages, which I do elementary school, but I thank you so much for coming on the air, because it's a wonderful and fascinating genre that you operate in, and you're still excited about it, and that's wonderful. That's great.
I
thank you so much. I really do.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. it's an opportunity for people to listen to someone that they may not normally come across or hear from or have no clue on how things happen. And that's part of the joy, And that's why Faceted Gems is hopefully inspiring other people. I know you have. I'm so glad you're on. We try to do this with Blake Radio and Rainbow Soul. So in closing, I'd just like to say thank you. And I close with love everyone, empower, assist when you can, dream and believe in the positive energy within. And it's one of the ways that we're able to share with each other. So I thank you so much. Okay?
Yeah, gotta believe in the process, right?
You have to. You have to. Yeah. It's we can't operate otherwise. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again.
Sounds good. Thanks, Diane.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.